From KBIA News in Columbia, this is Intersection, Conversations in Our Community. I'm Sarah Shariari. On April 4th, Colombians in the 1st and 5th wards will vote to select their city council representatives. Today on Intersection, we talk with 5th Ward City Council candidates Matt Pitzer and Art Jago. But first, we wanted to learn what questions people who live in the city's 5th Ward, which is located in Southwest Columbia, have for their potential council members. Producers Claire Banderas, Trevor Hook, and Meg Vatterott bring us these voices from Columbia's 5th Ward.
What are issues that are important to you that you would hope candidates would address when they, if they were elected to city council?
My name is Monique Lorson. For the Southwest side, traffic and traffic control is a really important issue. We put in a lot of subdivisions that the current roads don't really hold all of that traffic. And not only the roads aren't large enough to hold all of the traffic, but the roads need some improvement. The traffic lights need improvement. I also think that we need to be more supportive by bringing in more police to support this ever-sprawling community, because I think that we're asking a very small group of people to do a very large job.
My name's Anastasia Betcher. For Southside Columbia, it is really different in Ward 5 versus the other ones. For this specific part of town, I'm interested in public transportation too. I guess I'd like to see more access to the public transportation system, more information, maybe like bus stops instead of just signs, more sort of encouragement and availability for that. I know that a lot of the housing places have buses for students and things, but as someone who's graduated from Mizzou and is now a working person, it's a little more complicated to keep track of all that.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you sort of would want in a city council member, what you'd want in a representative on that form of government?
So first of all, I'm looking for a person who is a well-rounded individual who would not only speak on my behalf, but on the behalf of the Columbia community as a whole. So somebody who is even-tempered and who has the time to listen to everybody's perspective.
John Carver, that they're honest. And they always say the same thing. They don't lean one way, and the next minute they're leaning another way. You know, that's all. And that they care about the community.
I'm interested in people that are focused on issues that face sort of the average Colombian. I think housing is really important right now with all the new developments and prices for your average person. Minimum wage stuff's important, just sort of jobs in general. I'm interested in the environment and climate change and alternative energy if people are interested in talking about that.
If you had the opportunity to sit down with a city council member or a candidate, what would you ask?
I guess the biggest issue is I know that the budget is very limited, and so I guess it's the biggest issue is how are you going to prioritize the things that the city of Columbia needs along with the budget. The budget issues, and how are we actually going to deal with the ever-growing community and the seemingly lack of sufficient funding to meet the needs of the community.
This is Intersection on KBIA, and those were voices from Columbia's 5th Ward. Residents of the 5th and 1st Wards will select their city council representatives at the April 4th election. We talked with 5th Ward candidates Arthur Jago and Matt Pitzer. We start with candidate Matt Pitzer.
I am a portfolio manager at Shelter Insurance, and I've lived in Columbia. It'll be 11 years this summer. My wife and I moved back to this area. Her family is from here, and we moved back here to be closer to her family. And we moved into our current home in Southwest Columbia at that time and lived there ever since. I've got two boys, a sixth grader and a kindergartner, both in public schools here in Columbia, and we've just really enjoyed our time living here since we moved, and have had, you know, phenomenal experiences, met a lot of great people, and just really enjoyed raising our kids here.
Thank you. And Art, could you tell us a little bit about you and your connection to Columbia?
Sure. I've lived in the 5th Ward for 22 years. I came here in 1994 to become chairman of the Department of Management here at Mizzou. I've raised one child through Columbia Public School Systems, and we're very proud of the school system and his success in that system. He's now a graduate student at Stanford and hopefully we'll be choosing to move back to Columbia.
Wonderful. And Matt, if you had to name sort of the top three challenges that you think are affecting the city or specifically Ward 5, what would they be?
Well,
in brief.
right. You know, the things that are most important to voters are a lot of infrastructure needs to support the growth that we've seen in the 5th Ward. And there are a number of, for example, road improvement projects that will be happening in the next several years. And I want to make sure that those are done prudently, that voters are, you know, realizing the benefits that they asked for when they approved certain tax increases and certain, you know, bond issues in the past, make sure that, that's all done on time and on budget and appropriately. I also want to make sure that we strengthen our public safety resources, so both the police and fire departments, and, you know, keep them as strong as they can be as the city continues to grow and continues to face the challenges of having appropriately sized and appropriately run public safety departments in a growing city. And then also, I think that bringing my financial background to the council will help make some difficult budget decisions in the years ahead. And, you know, the council hasn't had a whole lot of financial skill over the last however many years. So when we look at, you know, some tough budget tough budgets coming ahead and making those difficult decisions, you know, I think that, having somebody with that type of background will benefit the entire city.
Wonderful. And Arthur, for you, you're a management professor here at the Terlasky College of Business. And what do you see as sort of the top three issues that Ward 5 is going to face?
Yeah, you know, as I've knocked on a lot of doors, going door to door and meeting voters, and the top issue that voters raise is police presence and concerns for their safety. They hear negative news on the evening newscasts every night, and it's disturbing to Ward 5 voters. They don't see downtown as safe, and they don't see their neighborhood in the 5th Ward as being safe. They don't perceive that safety. So clearly police presence, beyond simply responding to 911 calls, community policing, traffic enforcement is a big issue for Ward 5 voters. Because they don't like automobiles traveling 50 miles an hour through their residential neighborhoods. Those are big issues. Development is also a big issue. I mentioned the growth of Columbia earlier. And if you look at the five-year census statistics that have been available, Columbia has grown at about 1.8% per year over the last 5 years. The Chamber of Commerce describes that number as terrific. I think it's terrific as well, but I don't think we should be growing much faster than that because that's related to the third issue, and the third issue is infrastructure. We need to grow to survive. We need to grow to sustain the quality of life that we want for all Colombians. So growth is necessary, but infrastructure is necessary to facilitate that growth. We need, as we grow, We need to make ensure that the infrastructure is ahead of the growth, so that we don't get ahead of our skis when we're with new building projects. And at the same time, it's very, very important that we don't ignore existing infrastructure throughout the city, not just the 5th Ward, but there are infrastructure needs throughout the city, and those can't be neglected. We have to concentrate on new infrastructure for the expanding city, but we can't neglect existing infrastructure. And if we do, that will crumble and cause increased costs in the future. That would be kicking the can down the road.
This is Intersection on KBIA, and this week we're talking with Art Jago and Matt Pitzer, the two candidates who want to represent Columbia's 5th Ward. The 5th Ward is located in Southwest Columbia, and the election is April 4th. So it sounds like I'm hearing similar concerns from both of you. One is security in terms of police and fire and ability to reach these areas. Let's talk a little bit more about that because, as we know, and as Arthur and I were just discussing, you know, the city council has a limited amount of money that it works with, and it's expensive to increase police and fire service. Matt, where would you look to get money to improve those services, and how would you try to improve them?
Well, you know, one thing that's important to remember on the police side of it is that we've got almost, you know, 20 positions that are budgeted but not filled. And, you know, the police department has had trouble recruiting and retaining officers over the last several years. And I've served on the police retirement board. This is my third term on there in my fifth year. And I've gotten to know, you know, a number of officers and spoken with them about, you know, that issue specifically. And, you know, so to a certain extent, there's a nationwide problem with recruiting, you know, new people into the profession. But there, you know, Columbia's police department has changed also because of some of the ways that it's been run and some of the management issues there. We've got incredible officers that are incredibly talented and smart and very capable and very professional. But they've been somewhat hamstrung in their ability to do their jobs as effectively as they can be because of some of those management issues. And, you know, the Columbia Police Department, it used to be, you know, the shining light in all of mid-Missouri. And, you know, anybody who wanted to go into law enforcement, you know, this is where they wanted to be. And that has changed a little bit in the past several years because of, I think, the way the department is run. And you know, so now, you know, officers coming into the profession, they look at it and say, well, I don't know, maybe I don't want to go to Columbia. Maybe, you know, I'll go look to Jefferson City or Ashland or somewhere else. Or maybe I want to, you know, join the Boone County Sheriff's Department. So, you know, we need to change the management culture in the police department so that we can, you know, recruit more of that very best talent and, you know, and help us, you know, fill all of those positions, which is, you know, a meaningful first step. Now, that's not the only step. And we need to continue to look at, you know, the policing strategies, what is most effective. The council resolution from a few weeks ago to begin the community conversation around those strategies is important. And that will be an important process that plays out over the next, you know, several months to a year. And I think that the results from that, you know, will be, we need to take that and take a really hard look at it and then determine, you know, the type of police department that we want. And then we can, you know, really look at the appropriate sizing and funding levels for it. If we just simply, you know, raise taxes and throw more money at the current situation, you know, you're just going to have higher taxes, but you're not going to improve the overall situation. So we need to look at this all comprehensively.
And Arthur, you've been going door to door and you've also heard concerns about response times and safety. How would you approach the issue of policing in Columbia and in Ward 5 specifically?
Yes. You know, Matt is absolutely correct that that there are enormous morale problems in the police department among our officers. And in large part, some of it can be traced to management practices and things that have occurred in the past, and those are not debatable. They've happened. But a huge part of it is the staffing issue. Our officers are just staffed way too thin. They're spending all of their time responding to 911 calls. And our citizens are being put on hold when they call 911. Response times to 911 emergency calls are skyrocketing. Yeah, I mean, it's just a terrible situation for our residents, for residents in Ward 5 and all the other wards as well. And it's a terrible strain on our police officers. And I think I need to remind your listeners that 2 years ago, in 2014, there was a referendum initiative put on the ballot to increase property taxes to fund 30 more police officers and 15 new firefighters, and the citizens defeated that proposition. So the citizens are telling us that they want additional police officers, but at least with regard to that initiative, they turned down the tax increase. So what do we do? How do we deal with that? Well, we certainly can try to look for money in other budgets in City Council, but I don't think that's going to be productive. You know, way back in Ronald Reagan's days, he said, well, if we could just cut waste and excess government spending, we can fund all the necessary programs that we want. Well, the city budget is pretty thin. We're not going to find the money in the couch cushions of of Columbia to pay for additional officers. We need a consensus of what we're going to do to fund these additional officers. I think one thing we need to do is present an initiative to citizens that decouples funding for police officers and firefighters. I think there are different sets of needs, and I think bundling those two issues is not what citizens want to hear. Also, Matt mentioned this this year-long conversation that's been proposed and passed by City Council. I'm all in favor of that conversation. We need that conversation. However, I sat down with police officers the other day, and I've talked to people going door to door, and they don't want to wait a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They do not want to wait a year. Conversation is fine, but and producing reports out of that conversation are fine, but they want something done now. So we need to take some initiatives that are going to expand our police presence, make the Columbia Police Force an attractive, for applicants to become interested in, make it that jewel of surrounding communities that it once was and that it can be again.
And what would those steps look like? Like, what could we do over the course of the next year? What could you do as part of City Council to sort of start those initiatives?
Yeah, I think it's reasonable for people to begin discussing a tax initiative, property tax initiative for the funding of police officers.
Wonderful.
We need that conversation now, not a year from now when the commission has concluded its year-long conversation.
And another thing that we've been talking about is development and infrastructure. A lot of times when we talk about development we're talking about downtown because we see these big, tall buildings going up. We know that our downtown infrastructure is older and that it was built for a much smaller downtown area. But all you have to do is visit the edges of Columbia, of which Ward 5 has a expanding edge out there. And you see that downtown is certainly not the only place that's growing and taxing its infrastructure. Arthur, what are your thoughts on managing development and infrastructure in Ward 5 for its benefit?
Yeah, we need to manage the growth. Which means identifying long-range plans and then sticking to them. This city has lots of 20-year plans that we don't pay much attention to. Okay, what we need to do is do 20-year strategic planning regarding growth and development, taking in all the factors, and then sticking to that plan. And the City Council needs to be very, very conscious of those plans and can't go about instituting developments on a one-time basis where each new project is evaluated independent of each other. We need this was what went wrong with downtown development. When a number of student housing, luxury student apartments, so-called, were developed downtown. Each of those projects were developed and approved individually, mm-hmm. but did they meet the strategic plan of the city? And Ward 5 residents are saying downtown is not something they want to come visit anymore. And that's unfortunate for Ward 5 voters and citizens, and it's unfortunate for our downtown.
Mm-hmm.
We need strategic plans that we stick to, and that means that they need to be well thought out in the first place.
This is Intersection on KBIA, and this week we're talking with Art Jago and Matt Pitzer, the two candidates who want to represent Columbia's 5th Ward. And Matt, what about you? How are you looking at development in Ward 5?
Well, growth can always cause strains and frictions among neighbors and communities. And, we saw that with downtown, as we've been talking about. We also see it in Southwest Columbia with new developments and, neighbors who are concerned about, what's going to be, built up around them. And then also, their commutes to work every day get a little bit longer, a little bit more difficult, and a little bit more stressful. So the city has, you know, a number of infrastructure improvements, you know, coming down the pike in our ward. There are a number of road improvements that have been promised to voters as part of the recent ballot initiative to extend the capital improvements tax. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we need to stick with that and remember what the voters said and what the city already has promised them and deliver on those promises. So, you know, there's improvements, for instance, to Nifong Boulevard, which will, or Nifong Road, which will be, you know, important, and also to Foreign Boulevard. And this, you know, idea of, you know, bringing in road diets is not something that voters want. It's not something that they have expressed any interest in. In fact, they have explicitly said the opposite.
What is a road diet?
So, you know, the recent idea that came up with Foreign Boulevard is instead of improving it and expanding it as voters asked for, you know, it would be narrowing the road to from four lanes back to two and then, you know, adding walking and biking paths to it. So this was brought up by another councilman who is, you know, proposing ideas for, you know, outside of his ward. And is not, you know, listening to the voters and residents of the Fifth Ward. So, you know, I'm, you know, obviously I'm going to be a representative of the voices in my ward, and, you know, nobody is asking for this and nobody wants it. So, you know, the idea that we're going to go back on promises that we've already given to the residents, I think is a terrible idea. So, you know, as we continue to develop plans, we need to remember all the promises that we've made. And we need to make sure that we're executing on those and delivering on those projects on time, on budget. And I'm going to hold the city accountable to the voters for all those projects.
And speaking of projects, probably one of the most contentious for Ward 5 has been the power lines. The city needs to expand its power infrastructure. And one plan had a series of very tall poles going in within Ward 5. How do you stand, Arthur, on that project? Do you think that it should go forward with this Route A that goes through the Fifth Ward?
Not necessarily Route A. What we need is a decision. Okay? There's consensus. Nobody disagrees with the fact that we need an additional high-voltage transmission line. We need redundancy in the system. Otherwise, we're going to have brownouts and blackouts.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they're inevitable. So we need that. There's total consensus over the need. The disagreement is the route. Okay? And currently there are eight routes that are on the table, eight proposed routes, none of which have been taken off the table by the existing city council. And this has been going on since 2007. It's time to gather all that data together, put it in one picture, do a strategic analysis of each of the alternatives, you know, weigh the costs and benefits, not only the tangible ones, but the intangible ones as well, and make a decision. It's pretty clear, and I think Matt would agree, that the option E, this proposed northern route, has some potential. I mean, it looks. I've seen not a detailed map, but I've seen the area in which the route would go, a satellite photo, and it looks like a viable alternative that would be that would solve the energy problems that the city faces, and may come in at a reasonable cost and be less objectionable to the citizens of all wards. But those numbers are still out. The costs and the feasibility, it still remains to be told how that alternative is going to compare with the other seven. But clearly this is an issue that the citizens, they want a decision, and they deserve a decision. They deserved a decision years ago.
So City Council just needs to take all the information, look at it, and make a decision so that we can move forward with the infrastructure that we
absolutely
need.
Absolutely.
And Matt, what about you?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. This is a, you know, real hot button issue for all of Ward 5 voters. And, you know, the city has already, you know, looked at, you know, the seven prior options and, you know, done all the cost-benefit analysis and compared, you know, the pros and cons of everyone. And, you know, it's, you know, clear that they wanted another option. That's why this newer option is being investigated. And I think that is absolutely the role of a city council, to listen to those voices and make sure that they're heard and acted upon. And I am adamantly opposed to any solution that brings these power lines through existing neighborhoods, near our schools, and near our hospitals. I think that voters were not, fully told the full story by the city in terms, when this whole planning process was going along. So when we got to the point where, option A was proposed previously, there was a lot of surprise and anger at the when seeing the real plans for what was going to mm-hmm. happen. This type of infrastructure is put in place before there is development. Now, maybe the city made a mistake, 20 or 30 years ago in not doing that, but I wasn't here then, and I can't do anything about that. All I can do is handle the situation now. And because of not only just aesthetics, but also there are, real health questions. There are real concerns about what this will do to property values. So this is not the type of thing you put through developed areas. And as a councilman, I will demand other solutions to the problem. And this northern route, I agree, it does show potential. And I went and I sat down, with Boone Electric Co-op as kind of the closest thing to a disinterested party I could find in the area. Mm-hmm. We really went through and we looked at the entire situation. And, I have a complete grasp on what the needs are and why we're doing this and how it, could benefit the entire community. This newest proposed option would actually provide much greater overall security, reliability, and safety to the entire regional power grid. If it is possible, because of various ways that it's connected in with the rest of the grid that I won't go into, but there are clear benefits aside from the fact that we are not bringing this infrastructure through developed areas. It uses existing right of ways, existing utility easements. Hopefully the engineering studies will prove fruitful. But even if they don't, I'm going to go back to the city and say, look, you've got to find – or to the city staff and say, look, you've got to find other solutions. And there is always another way to handle problems. There's always another way. And if it's a problem of a lack of ingenuity or engagement in finding other solutions, then I'm going to demand that we look at other alternatives. I'm not an expert, so I can't name them off the top of my head. But I'm going to go to the experts and say, look – what you've said so far is not acceptable. The citizens say it's not acceptable. There are health reasons, there are economic reasons that it's not acceptable, and there is a clear need for the project, absolutely. But you need to find a better way to address it.
Thank you for listening to Intersection. And of course, thank you to our guests, Matt Pitzer and Art Jago. Art and Matt are the two candidates for Columbia's 5th Ward City Council seat. The 5th Ward is in Southwest Columbia, and the election is April 4th. Tune in next Monday to hear our conversation with 1st Ward City Council candidates Clyde Ruffin, Pat Kelly, and Andrew Hutchinson. Our producers are Claire Banderas, Trevor Hook, and Meg Vatterott. Our music is Montana Skies. I'm Sarah Shariari for Intersection, here on KBIA 91.3 FM.